fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Friday, the 5th day of May. The prep tip of the day is to learn to use a topographical map, a lensatic compass, learn cross-country navigation. Let's talk about that a little bit. We got some time here. We got open lines at 512-248-8252. I've been a map reading and cross-country navigation instructor for decades. I've trained hundreds of men and women in the art of using a map and compass. And I found that the following, and this is just simply the way it is, that 98% of the men get it rather quickly, and 98% of the women don't get it quickly. That's just an observation based on experience as an instructor. And I'm not going to go and try to analyze the difference between the sexes in terms of their ability to absorb and learn this information, but that's simply the way it is. Whether you like it or don't like it, that's simply the way it is. But the women, given sufficient time and proper training, they can learn this also. And the 2% of men who don't get it, same thing. If they given some time and proper instruction, they can get it as well. Many of you, not all of you, but many of you have a safe haven where you live. I do. And I would encourage you to get the topographical maps that cover your area. Now, they're available from the United States Geological Survey outfit. There's a private company, DeLorme. They publish bound books for all 50 states. I recall back in the 90s when they started publishing these books, 2 or 3 states at a time. It took, I don't know, 3 to 5 years before they had all the 50 states covered. But DeLorme published these bound books are really handy, especially if you want all the maps for one state or 2 or 3 states. They're very, very handy. The 24,000 topographical maps is what you want for your area. You want the, hopefully your safe haven will be not too far from the edge of one of these maps. That's helpful. It's not mandatory. And you want the three maps above your map, the two left, right, and the three below. That would be a total of 9 topographical maps minimum. And I say bare minimum. That will cover a number of square miles of area, of real estate, near area. Now, many of you, probably most of you, are used to using highway maps. Highway maps, typically, the only features they have, topographical features, would be creeks and rivers, lakes, dams, the ocean, obviously, things like that, that are major topographical features. But they won't have the anywhere near the detail that you find on a topographical map, nowhere near. Now, at the bottom of the map, the bottom 3 inches or so, is the legend. The legend tells you what all these various symbols mean that are on the map. Except for congested urban areas, once you get away from the cities, every human-built structure is indicated on the map. Everyone. Cemeteries are indicated. Schools are indicated. The paved roads are indicated. The gravel roads are indicated. The pathways through the forest are frequently indicated also as an unpaved road. Lots and lots of detail. They have the power lines are indicated. Now, a power line could be a way of travel if, in a worst-case scenario, if the roads are just shut down because of whatever reason, because there's an invading army, for example. The power line right-of-ways will have all the trees cut out of the way. It can be pretty rough terrain, and there could be fences, and there could be rivers and creeks that need to be crossed. But they generally go in a really straight line. A railroad right-of-way is the same thing. They generally go on a usually not too steep of a grade. At least when you're east of the Rocky Mountains, they can be somewhat steep grades in the Rocky Mountains, obviously. But the railroad right-of-ways is another path of travel that can be used to get from point A to point B if it happens to be going in more or less the same direction that you're going. If you don't live at your safe haven, I advocate the following. You get topographical maps that cover the area between where you live and your safe haven, that you practice traveling that distance at night, that you practice traveling it on different routes. If hopefully there's more than one route, if there's two routes or three routes, practice those two or three routes, both directions, at night. Now, out here where I live in the Mark Twain National Forest, when it's dark, it is really dark. You're going along these highways at night out here. You won't see any sign frequently. No sign of human habitation at all. No dusk to dawn lights. No street lights. It's almost like driving through a cave if it's an overcast night with no stars or moonlight. It's a whole different environment. If you're used to being in an urban, suburban area, it's never really completely dark. In the urban, suburban areas, always this ambient light because of all the electric lights that are around. So learning to travel these routes at night, in my opinion, is not optional. You might want to look at, not necessarily do it because of the difficulty, depending on the distance, but look at alternative routes such as I mentioned a moment ago, railroad right-of-ways, power line right-of-ways, as an alternative route if you have to move on foot, or with a bicycle, or an ATV. You're not going to, even a four-wheel drive Jeep is probably not going to travel very well on a power line right-of-way for a number of reasons. An ATV might, if you're prepared to cut fences. Now, cutting fences is a crime. So I say, unless it's a matter of life and death, don't do that. But if it is a matter of life and death, and you have to cut a fence to save your life, to get from where you are to where you want to be, then do what you got to do, obviously. Life comes first, and you do what you must. If a rancher sees you cutting his fence, he's probably going to attempt to arrest you or maybe even shoot you because you're damaging his property and putting his business at risk. So it's very risky business traveling cross country across private property. And these power line right-of-ways, they do cross private property. Of course they do. Railroad right-of-ways, now, if it's an active railroad, you need to be aware of trains, obviously. You're caught on a train trestle crossing a creek or a river and a train is coming, you basically have two choices. You either get run over and killed or you jump off the trestle, unless you can outrun the train. Good luck on that. But you're crossing private property on one hand, but the railroad right of way is something that most landowners would, if you're not causing an issue and you're being quiet, especially at night, you could probably cross that railroad right of way without causing any problems, and nobody would even know you did it unless there's dogs that start barking at you. In that case, just move on down the road. Away from the barking dogs. Hopefully they'll be restrained and won't come after you. I've done a lot of cross-country navigation, enough to know that I'm comfortable with doing it. I have a base of knowledge to know what can go wrong, how to make it go right. We'll talk about that a little bit, and let's talk about cross-country navigation in a densely wooded area. Not necessarily jungle, where you can't hardly see 20 feet in front of you, but a densely wooded area where you can see probably 100 to 200 feet in front of you. Typically, you can when it comes to seeing at your next way station or your next target for your compass. Now, if you're not used to using a compass, you may be kind of at a loss as to what I'm talking about, but I'll do my best to help a novice get started here. First of all, compass map reading. You want to lay your map on a surface that is not metal. That'll be very clear here in a minute. So it can't be the hood of a car or a metal table. A flat area that is not metal. Be aware of concrete, because concrete can have a rebar in it that will disrupt the compass. So just put it on the ground where it's flat and dry, if you have to, or hold it up flat and maybe have two or three people hold it, or a plastic table. And you put you orient the compass to north, you orient the map to north with your compass. Now, depending on where you are, declination may or may not be an issue. Here in South Central Missouri, declination is only 3 or 4 degrees. Not much. Declination is the difference between true north and magnetic north. There's two north poles, in case you don't know. True north is where the map is oriented towards. Magnetic north is where the compass points. So you want your map laid out to true north, and you determine where you are on a map as your starting point, and you determine your destination. You get the magnetic compass reading. It's called an azimuth. It's, I think, spelled A-Z-M-U-T-H, if I'm not mistaken, azimuth. It'll be your compass reading. It'll be in degrees, anywhere from 1 degree to 360 degrees. And once you've got that azimuth, then you can pick up the compass off the map and hold it and aim it. There's a way to turn the dial so that you can keep that azimuth easily found. And you aim the compass at a geographical feature. It could be a distinctive tree or a rock or a building, a utility pole. It doesn't matter what it is. Something that you can easily see while you're walking. And you simply walk towards that object, whatever that might be. It may only be 100 or 200 feet away. Once you get there, you take another compass reading, and you find the next target for your compass. Once again, a tree or a rock or a building, an abandoned automobile, whatever it is, and you walk towards it. Now, in a densely forested area, this is time-consuming. Don't get in a hurry. you try to even jog through the forest, you're going to end up face first. I can almost guarantee it in most forested areas because of the limbs and rocks and crevices and so forth that can trip you up. So just walk at a normal pace. If there's some kind of emergency, obviously walk a little faster. And that's how you navigate cross country in a forested area. Now, if you're in an open area, if you're out in Kansas or in the Plain States, there's other issues. You can walk more quickly. You can find a target at a much further distance if you can find one. There's parts of Kansas and Nebraska and other states in the plains where everything looks the same, and you may simply have to keep one eye on the compass as you walk towards your goal, because you may not have anything that's distinctive to use as a target to walk towards. It just adds another layer of complication to cross-country navigation. If you want to get involved in the hobby of doing this, typically there's going to be orienteering clubs around the bigger cities and college campuses is where you're going to find orienteering clubs. It could be a fun thing. You'll meet men and women who are interested in being outdoors. They may or may not be interested in prepping. They may even be woke. Who knows? Anything's possible. But you'll have a shared interest in orienteering and using a map and compass, and that involves a number of skills and pieces of equipment. First of all, your shoes and socks. Now, as far as I know, I'm the only talk show host who advocates what kind of socks to wear, and I advocate merino wool socks. I've been wearing merino wool socks now every day for about 20 years. They're great. They keep my feet healthy and comfortable, whether it's 10 degrees below zero or 110 degrees. Yes, wool socks are quite comfortable in the hot weather. More comfortable than plain cotton socks, which I wore for decades. Plain cotton socks in hot weather keep your feet wet and clammy. That's what they do. The merino wool socks draw that moisture away from your feet, and your feet stay comfortably dry and comfortable. So merino wool socks, you can find them on Amazon, your local sporting goods store. Next comes your foot gear. I am not a big fan of running shoes for wearing in the forest. I like leather boots. That's what I like. That's what works for me. Now, whatever you get is up to you, obviously, but I like leather boots that come up above my ankle to protect my feet and protect my ankles from bumping into rocks and trees. The purpose of shoes is to both keep your feet comfortable and to protect your feet. And I look to leather to protect my feet. That's what I do. Now, they're going to be a bit heavier than these modern nylon boots that they sell. If the nylon foot gear is padded and tough enough, go for it. They can serve you well. It's just not my personal choice. If you're in a wooded area, you're going to want to wear trousers that not shorts. Going through a wooded area with shorts, in my opinion, is a mistake. You're going to end up with scratched up knees and calves from all the things that are out there in the forest that can scratch up your legs. You want to protect your legs. As far as above the waist, dress according to the climate. If it's going to be cool and warm in the same day, you're going to want layers, so you can put layers on and take layers off as necessary. Obviously, if it's going to be rain, you want something that will protect you from the rain. We have a caller on hold here. We got James in Vancouver, Canada. Good morning, James.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Hold on. We got a break here, James. We'll be right back. Hold on.
All right.
Oh, Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle, or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S, secret.com.
There's a point, 7,000 RPM. Where everything fades. The machine becomes weightless, just disappears. And all that's left is a body moving through space and time. 7,000 RPM. That's where you meet it. You feel it coming, creeps up on you close in your ear. Ask you a question. The only question that matters. Who are you?
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This hour is sponsored by the Energy Cleaner. If you are tired of being tired, you need an energy cleaner. If sleep issues are bugging you, you also need an energy cleaner. Details at my website. You can place your order right there. Using PayPal, you can call my toll-free order line 24 hours a day. That's 800-592-9543. James in Vancouver, what's on your mind, sir?
Yes, I had a question. I was listening to you about hiking and such. How are you down there in Missouri for snakes, poisonous snakes?
Well, we have copperheads, we have water moccasins, we have rattlesnakes. And I've killed, I don't know how many copperheads, one water moccasin. I've yet to see a rattlesnake in the wild. I know they're out here, but I've never seen one.
Right. But they, We have them up here in the southern part of British Columbia, apparently. And you're talking about footwear, so it could wearing leather shoes is more appropriate if you've got snakes that can bite, right? So,
well, snakes will generally try to get out of the way of humans if they can.
Right.
Water moccasins are the exception. They're a very aggressive snake. The copperheads want to get away from people. The rattlesnakes will get away if they can. They'll stand their ground if they have no choice.
Also, another interesting thing about Missouri is the caves you have down there.
Where the caves stay. That's right. Right.
Yeah. And so, I don't know, do you live nearby the caves where you are at?
There's caves all around me. In fact, a major cave was just discovered in the last 5 or 6 years, not far from me.
Right. Well, anyway, okay, sir. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, thanks for the call. The call number is 512-248-8252. My engineer gave me a heads up. The proper way to spell azimuth is A-Z-I-M-U-T-H. A-Z-I-M-U-T-H. There's any number of books available on using a topographical map, cross-country navigation. It's really not hiking. Hiking is generally where you stay on a trail, and cross-country navigation means you literally go cross-country. Now, keeping in mind the following: roads and trails will generally allow you to move faster. Now, if you're in a tactical situation where the People's Liberation Army is running patrols down the road, and you do want to use a road and you're on foot, you want to walk near the edge of the forest, assuming there is a forest, not on the road itself, and keep a sharp lookout for approaching vehicles so that if an approaching vehicle is coming, you can lay down. Hopefully you'll be wearing dark colored clothing, not black. Black is about the worst thing you can wear because it stands out. But earth tones, browns and greens, and just lay down before the vehicle has the opportunity to see you. And then once the vehicle or vehicles, plural, are gone, then you can resume your trek, your voyage on foot. Going on foot is the least desirable way. Let's talk about how you can transport yourself and do so in a tactical environment. That brings up the topic of bicycles and electric bicycles. A bicycle is a far superior way to travel as opposed to foot if you're in terrain that will allow that. Bicycles are now being manufactured with really large tires, kind of tires you would see on a motorcycle. The tires are normal bicycle tires are very vulnerable to being damaged. There's in many size tires, there are polyurethane inserts. So there is no air in the tires. There's a solid, it is somewhat flexible polyurethane insert that displaces the air so you can't get a flat tire. That would be a release. Now, there's all kinds of things you can get, green slime and other things that will help retard and prevent a puncture, but that's not 100%. A polyurethane insert is 100%. Let's talk about electric bicycles. Now, there's purpose-built electric bicycles that a person can buy, and there's kits that a person can buy to convert a regular bicycle to an electric bicycle. A couple of good options. Here's our bottom of the hour break. We'll be right back.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream.
Dear Liberty Man, my aches and pains are making it hard for me to sleep at night. Ugh, what's a girl to do? Signed, Sleepless in St. Louis.
Dear Sleepless, I recommend Energy Cleaner. The Energy Cleaner transmits a healing electrostatic signal to every cell in your body, flushing out toxins, relieving pain, aiding with sleep. The Energy Cleaner is sold exclusively at my website, thelibertyman.com, and Sleepless, there's a bonus. Signed, The Liberty Man.
Thanks to the Energy Cleaner, I'm sleepless no more. And let's just say there's plenty more going on in my bedroom than dreams and snoring. I've got to go. He's at the door.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
But I'd like to ask each of you what it is you value so highly that you are willing to fight and possibly die for. We will call that Texas. The Mexican army hopes to lure us into attempting escape. Almost anything seems better than remaining in this place, penned up. If, however, we force the enemy to attack, I believe every one of you will prove himself worth 10 in return. We will not only show the world what patriots are made of, but we will also deal a crippling blow to the Army of Santa Ana.
If anyone wishes to depart, under the white flag of surrender, you may do so now. You have that right.
But if you wish to stay here, with me, in the Alamo, we will sell our lives dearly.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Jared Moore here on Friday. It is Friday, the 5th day of May. My website is thelibertyman.com. My new webmaster is doing a great job updating the website pretty much every day of the week, with new articles, new videos. The COVID section I talk about a lot for the following reason. In my opinion, what's taking place right now on the 5th day of May, 2023, is the worst crime in recorded human history. You may disagree, but that's my opinion based on what I'm seeing. I've personally interviewed the directors of two different funeral homes in my area. They confirm that since July of 2021, there's been a 20% increase in funerals. And they show me their schedules, where the calendar used to have one or two a week. Now it's almost every day of the week. It's incredible, an increase in funerals. And that's right there at my website at the COVID panel. More than 200 articles and videos regarding COVID vaccinations. And hopefully you'll be able to educate yourself there. Also on my website, of course, you'll find the John Moore Ozark Symposium. Let's see if I can pull that up here real quick. I don't know why this does what it does sometimes. Here we go. This is the first week of August at the beautiful Wildwood Springs Lodge in Steelville, Missouri. My guest will be my live studio audience during that week. We'll have the chef there. We'll prepare excellent breakfast and dinners for us. We'll have private discussions. I will have private discussions with all my guests. I'll be able to talk about things I can't possibly talk about on my show. It'll be a great week. And you want to make reservations, just call my reservation taker. That would be Betsy Murphy at 636-530-9502. Products here will help you achieve your goals. The custom log cabin kits, the generator, the rocket heater, we'll be talking about that at the top of the third hour. Harvest-Rite freeze-dried equipment has a sale going on right now, so you might want to click on there if you want commercial quality freeze-dried equipment in your home to share with family, friends, people to go to church with. They're on sale right now. You can save up to $500. Last but not least, the energy cleaner. And the energy cleaner will help you get past the pain issues, get past the sleep issues, and get on with your life. That's what it's all about, the energy cleaner. Details at my website. You can place your order for your energy cleaner, your mattress pad that goes with it right there at my website, or call my toll-free hour line. Keep in mind, I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee. The toll-free hour line is 800-592-9543. We open lines here at Republic Broadcasting. The call number is 512-248-8252. I've never gone camping as a recreational sport, ever. I've never done that, on one hand. On the other, I've slept outdoors for as long as a month at a time with many other three-night training exercises. And for me, staying outdoors and sleeping outdoors is training, or it could be combat, because I've done both, of course. And so I'm very familiar with what it takes to be comfortable in the woods, to sleep in the woods, to deal with hot weather, to deal with 10 below weather, to deal with rain and snow, with only what I can carry on my back, typically not a tent. In fact, there's only been a couple of times I've used a tent. I've usually, when I go out in the bush, I take two ponchos with me, one for overhead cover, one for a ground cloth. Depending on the conditions, I may or may not bring a sleeping bag. I always have a rubber mat to sleep on, a closed cell rubber mat to be both for comfort and protection from the cold ground. If you sleep directly in cold ground, it will just suck the heat away from your body, and you'll really be cold. And those rubber pads make a massive difference in terms of comfort. Yes, I'm very familiar with what it takes to be out in the woods and be safe and be somewhat comfortable and prepare meals in the woods and take care of personal hygiene matters in the woods also. In most wars, the majority of casualties come from illness and poor hygiene when it comes to just the overall number of casualties and people that get sick and or die. I've been to many county seats around the Midwest, mostly Missouri and Southern Illinois, some in Arkansas and Indiana, and frequently there'll be a World War I monument at the county courthouse. And they'll list a number of men who died in battle in Europe and the number who died here in this country from disease. And typically, the list of men who died from disease and never left the United States is larger than the number of men who died in battle. I found that rather revealing. So, if you're going to be staying out in the woods, you really need to learn and understand what good hygiene means in the woods, to be able to clean your hands, clean your mouth, brush your teeth, clean your body, what it takes to do that, how to do it, and do it so that it is effective and will help you maintain optimal health and well-being. It's not optional. It's famously known that the general in charge of the men that were surrounded at the Battle of the Bulge were under orders to shave every morning. They didn't like it, but they did it anyway because they were under orders to do so. And of course, if they're shaving, they're taking care of other matters of personal hygiene. That helped the men stay healthy and helped with morale both. Even though the men didn't like it and they grudged about it and complained about it, they did it anyway. And they were healthier and better off because of it. Talk about water a little bit. You're out in the bush. Water is just as important as any other time. Typically, when I'm going to a three-day operation, I'll carry about 5 quarts of water. That's very minimal. I'll probably end up slightly dehydrated with only 5 quarts of water. But that's enough to get me by, unless it's really hot. And it looks like we have with us, if he would like to join us, Brady. Brady, are you there, sir? Let's see. He's not connected yet, but he'll be added in here soon. Brady and I got to spend a better part of a day together the other day, and we got to know each other a lot better, and I'm looking forward to him coming up on board here. He's our production engineer for the Rocket Heaters. And let's see. Brady, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Good morning, sir. I was going to give a little discourse about being out in the bush and how to be somewhat comfortable. I mentioned how I've never gone camping as a recreational sport, despite spending as long as a month in the bush with my only shelter being ponchos snapped together, despite it raining almost every night in the Nantahala National Forest of North Carolina. So I know a lot about camping, even though I've never camped as a recreational sport. And I was talking about personal hygiene and getting to the topic of water when you came on board here. Water is not optional no matter where you are, is it, Brady?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, it's one of the rules of threes. What is it? You know, 3 weeks without food, three days without water, and 3 minutes without air. So
Roger that. Roger that. I'm interested. Now, you were a submariner, and I know that early on they would put these guys, when they were training, in a tower filled with water, and they would have to get from the bottom of the tower, which would be, 80 or so feet high, 60 feet, I don't know, to the top with a lung, with just the air in their lungs. Did you have to do that?
Yes, actually I did. And it's not just the air in your lungs, because that would be comparable to like free diving or something like that. And to get to that sort of a depth takes a lot of training. But no, we had stanky hoods is what they were called. And it was sort of just the escape hatch training sort of a stuff. So we have these hoods that you basically, it's kind of like a diving bell, but it only goes around pretty much your neck. It's got a little flap that folds over your chest, and you basically fill it up with air, and it's sort of just training to teach us how to do it. They spend like half a day in class, and then you go and you do it once or twice.
It's a tower full of water. And
yeah,
how tall is that tower? How deep is the water?
I think when I did it, it was around 40 feet, 60 feet.
Okay.
But, it's up in Groton, Groton, Connecticut. And that's where all of the sub-school training stuff is. And yeah, it's definitely something. But we actually call that whole system a mommy maker because it makes mommy happy. And the reality of the matter is, you know, on a submarine, if you ever go down, you're really, it's like next to impossible for, you know, us to sort of go down in an area where we have like that little water. I mean, that would pretty much be literal waters. We're almost up on the coast. Most of the time, if we go down, like we're still going to be fighting to sort of save the ship. So, you know, it's literally all for one and one for all. So it's, you know.
Well, the Submarine Corps, and when I was in high school, a former classmate who had graduated, become a member of the Submarine Corps, he came up to do a presentation to the men in my class, wearing his very sharp black uniform. The submariners have their own uniform. They don't wear the uniform of the Service Navy, do they?
Well, we still have like the Cracker Jacks and the dress whites, and we still have all of the rest of the uniforms, and we will wear them in port, but generally underway, we just wear coveralls, a t-shirt and skivvies, and you know, that's pretty much about it. You know, we've got some sweaters that we'll put on.
There's also a black uniform that they wear, isn't there?
No. When I went in, the Navy had recently changed its uniform standard, and it was changing the uniforms again when I was on my way out.
This fellow was wearing a black uniform with gold with brass buttons, and it was very sharp and very distinctive.
It might have been an officer jacket. Sounds like
no. He was just a petty officer. He'd only been in the Navy less than 2 years because he was just 2 years ahead of me in high school. Brady, you and I spent most of the day together, and earlier this week, and we got to know each other better. And I knew you had some when we were at the. You were my guest at the Republican dinner, the Lincoln Day dinner, mm-hmm. and we had issues with the public address system, the sound system, and you just got up and walked over and took care of it in less than a minute to get it squared away. But I didn't know the extent of your expertise until we worked together that day, and I'm doing some work in my home studio. And I traveled to Bourbon to pick you up because your vehicle was down. You got here. It took you, a minute or two to determine and address the audio issue. And then I went ahead and took you home, didn't I?
Yeah, it's like there's that old saying about the Italian sculpture that or artist, right? And somebody pays him. You know, $100 to draw a portrait, and he like zips it out, and you know, no time flat. And the guy's just like, "Whoa, I paid you to spend some." He's like, "Yeah, you're not, you know, paying for my time. You're paying for the 20 years it took me to be able to draw that in 15 seconds or whatever." So it's just one of those things that when you have a certain skill or expertise, you learn to very quickly identify what's not the problem, so you can eliminate, you know, 80% of what other people might get confused by, and then you can simply just narrow it down to it's going to be something like this, this, or this, and you just sort of know what to look for, know what to listen for, right? It's like, you know, guys, I work on most of my own vehicles, right? But, you know, and I've gotten to a point where I'm fairly competent. You know, I can fix most things that go wrong with most vehicles inside of, you know, a weekend or an afternoon. But you go to somebody who's done it as a profession for 20 years, you know, they can have the same job done in like an hour or two. So,
right.
You know, it is what it is.
Right, right. Well, the real skill of mechanical work is diagnosis. The other skills of replacing parts is not a big deal, but being able to diagnose the issue is, of course, now it's being done with computers more and more, but diagnosis is the real talent, isn't it?
Yeah, but I would also argue that, honestly, being able to replace the part these days is getting to be more and more. I had a friend who had, she got a great deal on a, like, 7 Series BMW, and it was something very simple, like a transmission maintenance service. And on that particular car, she actually had to separate the entire drivetrain, remove the drive shaft from the back wheels, remove the engine and transmission from underneath the car, then pick the car up and move the car out, because the part that needed to get accessed was like, came from on top of the transmission, which you couldn't access in the vehicle. I mean, that's what they're doing with modern vehicles. You know, we had a guy, one of our very first employees, show up, and he had an issue with, dude, it's probably like an intake leak or something like that. And that's what it turned out to be. But the intake was made out of clamshell molded plastic, which, you know, anything like that's going to have a lifespan. At a certain point, it's going to separate from the seams. Right. And more importantly, like I downloaded the you know, Dodge service manual or whatever off the internet. And whenever, I don't know how the car has gotten this smart, but whenever you take that intake off, you actually have to reload all of the computer software on the car. And so I was just like, man, yeah, I was like, I can't work on this. Like, I don't have your software. I can't do this. And it's, this is the way things are going. And here, you know, at Liberator, we're kind of like, this is wrong and not right. And we're trying to sort of reverse course. So.
Amazing. Well, it's no surprise to anybody who's got even a very cursory knowledge of these modern vehicles. They've become incredibly complex, and computers control almost everything, don't they?
Yeah, that's sort of the way that they're going. And I think it's personally by design, because they want more and more control over all the dirty little plebeians. And they, they're trying to make things like in the newest cars that where you basically are cloud connected the entire time. If somebody tries to run from the cops, they want to be able to turn the engine off. And now maybe I can see many applications where that might be a good thing. But at the same time, you know, how long we're already seeing it with the banking institutions. We're already seeing it with social media. Like, how long is it before they, start to say, you know what, we don't like that you posted something particularly damning about us, you know, which is coming out all the time, right, from, you know, the Twitter files to everything else. And it's just, you know.
Well, I'd like to see Elon Musk buy YouTube. YouTube has been censoring me for years because I say the wrong thing. I'll soon be using YouTube again for a live broadcast once the technology is set up to do it, but not for archives, because the AI will censor my archives. Anytime I mention COVID or the clot shot or boosters, that kind of thing, they just pull my archives. It's very disturbing they do that.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, this is one of those things where I have some solutions, but they would essentially require a redesign of the way that, you know, a lot of the stuff works. But this is, you know, getting into the internet and sort of the way the internet was originally built. But, you know, maybe we'll see it, maybe we won't. Regardless, I think it's going to be a long fight ahead.
Well, Brady, you're the production engineer over at Liberator Rocket Heaters. You have a corner of the factory where you've got your equipment set up. You spend your day wearing many different hats, don't you, sir?
Oh, absolutely. I've been working on installing some tech into the factory right now. basically tweaking the network and the camera system to be more efficient. You know, we've got another machine that needs to get some software loaded on it. We've got another machine that's going to be coming in, I think, in a month. And, you know, it's just, you know, on top of that, I'm also, you know, taking calls from people and doing, you know, whatever else, you know, the factory needs. There have been times where, you know, I've had Sky come at me with something and I'm working on something else and I'm just like, look, I can't switch from this to that because they are too far apart. And right now my brain is focused in this particular mode. But, you know, now that we've got Star on board, she's helping taking a lot of the, you know, some of the basic customer service stuff off of my hat, and you know, as well as some of the shipping, and it's allowed me to focus on some of the more intensive, exotic, and complicated things that I do there. So,
well, Star is our only female employee, and her office is the cleanest, nicest office in the building, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I kind of. That was always kind of sort of the plan is, you know, once we get to a point where we're having to bring someone in like that, you know, I was wanting to move basically all of the, you know, a lot of the network equipment, cause the computers don't exactly like, dust and grit and grease and grime,
and high temperatures and humidity.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, if we ever get, you know, some kind of audit from some kind of agency or something like that, it also helps if all of our paperwork is in a nice, neat, clean office. And it was just sort of always a sort of a plan.
Well, that's a good plan. And we got, with 29,000 square feet, we got enough room to do that, don't we, sir?
Yeah, for now. We are still making heaters. Production has slowed down a little bit since we've shifted more to the maintenance and sort of rebuild, you know, add infrastructure sort of mode here in the summertime. But we're still sending them out. Sent a few out this week. Sent some more emails. We're going to have a lot of the conventions happen during the summertime, so we've got a couple of those that are stacking up. So
ladies and gentlemen, I'm the executive vice president of the company. We manufacture a wood burning stove that has no smoke, rated by the EPA. There's some things the EPA does right, and measuring smoke from wood burning appliances is one of them. Rated by the EPA at 99.5% efficient. There's a little smoke for 5 or 7 minutes while the stove's getting up to operating temperature. And once it's up to operating temperature, there's no smoke. I remember I had the teenage son of my pastor was here to help me with a technical issue. And it was wintertime about 2 months ago. And he finished his job, and I said, come out here in the yard. I want to show you something. So I walked out in the yard, and I said, look there. Look at my chimney. And he looked at it, and he says, okay, I'm looking at it. I said, what don't you see? And he looked at me and he said, what are you talking about? You don't see any smoke. You don't see any smoke. And the rocket heater is going full blast. Here's our top of the hour break. Everybody stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC. Somersville, Missouri. 417-932-6419.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.